Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
I make it cute. We make good food and cocktails too. I'm here for you. You make it cute. Yeah, I make it cute. Oh, me and you.
Hi, welcome back to another episode of Make It Cute. I'm so happy that you're here and I'm so excited for this episode. I know that last week we have a lot of things that we need to catch up on, but we are going to push that aside for a week because I am joined by a really extremely special guest. I'm here with Allie from @SugarPusher on TikTok. She is a friend, a colleague, a fellow TikToker, fellow content creator. I have been obsessed with her content ever since I discovered her. I think I ended up finding her in Christian Paul's comment section or something. And then I immediately was like, I need to follow this woman because I absolutely love her content. She has over 131,000 followers on TikTok. And she's also @SugarPusher on Instagram. And if you want to check out her website, it is sugarpusher.net. I'm going to pass it on to Allie. I'm so excited to have her on. And Allie, if you would like to just give you a quick introduction to the audience.
Hi, Miles. Thanks so much for having me. My name is Allie. Like Miles said, I am a TikToker. I'm a self-taught pastry chef and a trained chocolatier, as well as a digital content creator these days. And it's super, super fun. I also am a big fan of Miles's content, so the fangirling is mutual.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
I so appreciate that. And today we're going to be talking about the fact that you can start anything at any time. But before we get into that, y'all know me. You've been with me for I don't even know how many months at this point, but pretty sure we're approaching the 40s in episode numbers. But I want you guys to also get to know Allie as well. So Allie, I'm going to ask you a couple questions and yeah, just, you know, answer them kind of with the first thing that come to mind. The questions are going to be very random. I'm kind of thinking of them as I talk through this. And that's maybe why I'm using a little bit more words than normal to get this point across, because I'm slightly stalling. But Allie, first question I have for you is, what is your zodiac sign? I'm so curious.
Oh gosh, I'm a Gemini, but I swear I'm not that kind of Gemini.
Wait, you're a Gemini? Are you May or June?
June 14th.
Oh my God, it's coming up. That is so exciting.
I know.
Are you planning anything exciting for your birthday?
No, because my vaccine doesn't kick in until like 5 days after my birthday. So I'm going to make my first trip out of the house, like into a store for the first time in like a year. And I'm going to go to Home Goods because I'm old and boring and buy some photo shoot props. So I'm really looking forward to that, like the week after my birthday.
Oh my God, I love that. And I love Home Goods. So I totally feel that you're not old and boring. I think you're a few years older than me, but you're not old and boring.
I appreciate
it. At least
that.
Not the boring. I mean, even if you self-identify as old, that's perfectly fine. I can't tell you what to do, but definitely not boring, I promise. My next question for you is, these are all kind of like personality questions. And it's just like, I feel like I have to ask these, but if you are a Harry Potter fan, what is your like Hogwarts house?
Don't kick me off the podcast for this, but I've never seen any of the Harry Potter movies and I've never read any of the Harry Potter books.
All right, guys, this podcast episode is over. I will see you next. No, I'm kidding. that is totally fine. I just figured I'd ask, you know, it's like one of the standard like personality questions. Also, doubling back to your zodiac, do you know like your like rising and moon sign?
I have it written down in my phone somewhere, but I don't, off the top of my head, I don't. I think I'm like a Gemini and then like Virgo and then, I don't know, something else, Cancer something. I think my rising is maybe Cancer and I don't know. It's in my phone. No, it's in my notes app in my phone.
I'm putting you on the spot. So like, I mean, y'all, we didn't discuss these questions ahead of time. So like, this is like, you know, real, unedited, uncut. That sounded a little bit inappropriate, but yeah. So this is just This is just the conversation we're having, you know? Who is one of your, like, you can either say who it is or if you have a couple people, but your favorite creators right now. I know that my favorite creators at any given moment, it's always kind of like ever changing on like whatever the trends are going on. So who are some of your favorite creators to watch right now?
Oh my gosh. I have discovered so many fantastic people on TikTok and also through Clubhouse, like meeting other creators on Clubhouse. And everybody's just been so supportive. You're one of my favorites. I need you to post more things, please. I love Sad Poppy's videos because they're so informative and he's just so chill about everything. And it feels like he just knows everything, but not in like a, hey, bro, I know it all kind of way. He's like very chill about his knowledge, which is nice. And then I love the caking girl. Her name is Joanna and she's from Canada. And she actually has her 3-year-old daughter, Ellis, decorate cakes on her TikTok. And then she just had a video go viral for her bunny. Like her bunny comes to the sound of like the fridge opening and it's got like 7 million views. And the bunny just-
I saw that. Oh my God.
Yeah. So she's really amazing. And I like chat with her and she's so funny. But there are just like, there is an endless amount of creators. And if you're following me on Instagram, that's usually where I like try to repost other content and posts like, you know, every now and again, I'll do like, these are my favorite people, go check them out. Like, just because I believe in creators helping creators.
I totally feel that. I'm definitely like in the same boat. And that's so cool because I actually saw the bunny responding to the fridge opening video. So that's so funny. And I think it's like really interesting whenever like people are growing on TikTok, because it's like, I feel like I want to talk about your TikTok journey in a moment. But for me, like I started TikTok, I had my first viral TikTok, and I say viral with quotes, probably about this time last year. So, sorry, I had to yawn and I tried suppressing it. So just kind of like went through puberty right there. So we're fine. We're all good here.
But
yeah, so it's just like, actually, like, I feel like that's like a good, like, kind of like transition. What was your kind of like rise? What I know that you had a previous career, and I want you to also like let us know about that, because I think it's so interesting and it's so cool. But with TikTok, like, how did you decide that you wanted to do the content that you're doing? And what do you feel like was your first viral video? Just kind of give us all of it. Don't spare any details.
Okay. So my friend Lauren is this fabulous Gen Z angel that I don't deserve to be friends with. As an elder millennial. But she was like, she kept bugging me for months. She was like, you have to get on TikTok. You have to make baking tutorials. And I was like, nobody is going to watch me bake anything. Like, nobody is going to watch that. Just don't. And then last, I'd say probably January 31st, actually, or like February 1st, just before the pandemic hit, I lost my day job. So I was a full-time litigation paralegal. And I lost that job. My attorney that I was working for left several months prior, and they were like, no, we'll keep you on. We'll keep you on. And then they didn't keep me on, and lost my job unexpectedly. And then the pandemic hit, and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do because I have a compromised immune system, so I can't go anywhere. So I'm stuck in the house. And I was like, okay, Lauren said to make videos. I'm just going to try it. And like, I started uploading cat content at first. Like, I didn't start out with baking stuff. I was just like, oh, these are my like things I bought for my wedding. And these are like my cats. And then I made one cookie video. And then it was like, that's what got the views. And I was like, oh, people want to watch me bake things. Okay, well, we'll keep trying. And then I think the first video that probably got a lot of traction was just me decorating a watercolor cake. Like, I was just like doing a watercolor cake in poor lighting with like not even a phone stand, like just like propped up on some books. And one, I don't even know if I had a ring light. I don't even think I had a ring light yet. And that one went, you know, viral in quotes. It had over 1 million views. And so that was really cool. And that made me want to keep making content. And I loved it.
Okay. So viral in quotes, over 1 million views. That is definitely viral without quotes. That is amazing. And I love hearing that because I was pretty much in the same boat where the content that I ended up being known for was not the content that I started with by any means. Believe it or not, you know, when I first started TikTok, I was just like, I'm going to, this is so embarrassing. And I swore I would never share it with anyone, but here we go, just for everyone listening out there. The Say So Dance by Yodeling Haley. If you look at my, like, my private videos that I privated after I started doing cocktail content, there's probably, like, at least 12 iterations of me doing that dance. Like, 12 different outfits, 12 different videos. I started out and I was like, oh, I'm going to be the next Charlie D'Amelio. No, not exactly like that. But I was like, I'm going to do these little dances. Like, I don't know. I see people on my For You page, because before your For You page, like, gets to, like, where it currently is, you know, it kind of just feeds you the most popular videos on the app, which a lot of them were like those dancing videos.
Yeah.
Did not realize that there were so many other sides to TikTok. And then I posted a video that I actually downloaded from Snapchat. So it was, my friend asked me for a recipe and I shared a recipe with him. And then I ended up just saving that to my memories on Snapchat. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to upload this to TikTok. And that was one of the first videos that ended up going, like, you know, when I say my video went viral, I mean, I got like 600 likes on it. And it was like, I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And funny enough, that's actually going to be the recipe I'm going to be sharing today. Not sharing it right this second, but yeah, the recipe from that video is going to be the cocktail I share with you guys today. So I think it's really fun how this all goes full circle.
That's awesome. I love that. And also, success is subjective, right? So like, if only you can measure like what videos you've had that are successful, like other people can go, oh, well, it has over a million, so it's successful. If you're a person who, you know, usually only gets 500 views and you have a video that gets 50,000 views, like that's successful. Like, that's one of my biggest things in life is like, you choose and you decide what success means to you. And you keep that for yourself and you don't decide anybody else's success. You just only decide your own. And I think society would be a lot happier if everybody took that into their little brains and just stored it up there as a little nugget of wisdom.
I feel like that was like a really elegant and polite way of saying like, stay the fuck in your own. I feel like that's kind of like the underlying message. It's just like, yeah, listen, I'm going to do me. You're going to do you. Like, I love that. And I completely agree. And funny enough is a couple weeks ago, I had an episode called like So Young and So Successful. And it was literally talking about how success looks so different for everyone. So I'm so happy that you mentioned that, because I think that also really ties in.
It really does. So as you mentioned earlier, I had a whole different life before I became a content creator. And I was a professional musician. I was a singer-songwriter. I had my music on the Jersey Shore, on other MTV shows. I wrote a theme song for an MTV show. I had my music playing in Hot Topic stores nationwide because, I mean, look at me. Of course I did. You can't look at me on the podcast, but if you go to my Instagram, you can look at me. And trust me, I look like I would have my music in Hot Topic or just be in Hot Topic a lot. And I did work there actually when I was like 18, so it's fitting. But, you know, I had this whole different life. And when you're a musician, there is this, first of all, there's so much competition, right? And then it's different for men than it is for women. And when you're a woman, it's like, you've got to be successful by this age or you're never going to be successful. And a lot of people will assign what success looks like, right? They're like, well, you don't have a label. You know, you don't have a record deal. You don't have your albums in a Target store, like whatever was the thing back then. And it's like, yeah, but I feel successful because I worked really hard to write and record songs, to work with good producers, to work with good artists who made good graphic art for my CDs. You know, I worked really hard to pay for those, you know, physical pressings of those albums to go into like Hot Topic stores and all that kind of stuff. And I had my music on a bunch of TV shows, right? So like for me, that was success. And somebody else will look at you and go, well, you don't have this and you don't have that. Success isn't about what you don't have. It's about what you do have and how you feel about yourself And I think a lot of people lose sight of that, especially in a more creative position. It feels like we're always trying to like look at someone else for an example of when we're successful, but it's really just such a different thing for everybody. It looks so different for everybody.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And also, I think it's so amazing, like, you know, hearing all the different things that you've been able to do. One thing that, you know, I did do is I went and I hunted for your song in Jersey Shore after I found out that you were on there. Love it. And I'm sure you remember, I commented on one of your videos and I was like, hey, I'm posting a video this weekend, you should check it out. And it was because I used one of her songs as the background. Yeah. Do you feel like giving us a little sample? Do you feel like singing?
Oh, no.
Totally okay if you don't.
No.
Okay.
No, but you can go and listen to my music on Spotify, on iTunes. It's all still on there. It's under my real name, which is Ali Burnett. But a lot of it is still – I took a lot of the older stuff down that was like not very well produced. But I keep the good stuff up because it's just so expensive to keep the music going on the platforms every year. And I was so tired of the renewal fees. And I was like – I think I pay more in renewal fees than I make on royalties at this point or on sales. So I was like, you get like my favorite ones and that's it. That's all you get from now on.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And then I think I found you on YouTube too of some of your covers.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Did you do covers?
Yeah. I did a couple. I was really anti-cover for a really long time. But then when I stopped making music, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. Like if you ever come and visit me in Alabama. Well, let's put it this way. If you're ever in like Nashville or Atlanta, I'm close by and you can come and visit me. And my fiance will probably make you karaoke with us because that's his favorite thing. Like he has a whole karaoke room. It's like karaoke and drums because he plays drums, but he has a whole room where he makes us do karaoke, like full on karaoke. He's got like light machines and everything. So I do that, but I pretty much only sing Paramore and No Doubt at this point. When we do karaoke, I'm like, you get a Paramore song or you get a No Doubt song. That's all you get for making me do karaoke.
I literally love that. And yes, I'm so down. I love karaoke so much. And like, I love singing as well. So it's just like, that's something that really resonates with me, is like kind of like finding ways to bring that passion into the home. Like that got me so hyped. That got me super excited. Like actually earlier I was just like, wow, I haven't played my guitar in a while. And there was this one song that I really wanted to play. I don't know if you've seen this cover on your For You page, but there's this guy, his name's Peter McPoland, and he did a cover of Levitating in like folk style. And it is the cutest thing on this planet. And I want to know the chords so then I can like just like play it in my own little apartment. I'll send you the video after.
Please
if you
do.
Haven't seen it. But yeah, it's just like, I love that. And if I'm ever in Nashville or Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
I will definitely let you know. And then also you're going to have to come up here to New York and we're going to have to go get some good chocolate and desserts.
Oh, no, we're going to do that. First of all, I'm going to drag you to Dominique Ansel's, where I've been 1 million times, but I will never stop going there. I don't get the cronut. I don't want anybody to get mad at me for saying this, but I think the cronut, it's like okay, but I think it's also overrated. But their DKAs, the like his version of the Queen Amman, is like so good. Ask for it warm. It's better warm. And then his macarons, like he makes just really good macarons. And I just, everything they do is so like just fantastic and like French and beautiful. And I just, it's like, I feel like a kid in a candy shop anytime I go into one of his places. I'm actually really sad because my favorite one was in London and it closed in the pandemic. And it was just like, they also had a brand new location called Treehouse in London that we were going to go to after we got married. We were going to have like an England like reception over there. And it closed also in the pandemic. So it's just really sad. But I can't wait to come to New York. One of my best friends, Adrienne, lives there. And she used to live here in Huntsville, where I live in Alabama. And she moved up there and she's like living her best, like absolute just best shot girl summer life. Like she is hot and single and fantastic and has a great job and like gets to do all the cool things. And I'm like, I can't wait to come visit because I miss her so much. And I miss the food up there so much.
Oh my God, I love that. And Ali and I, we were talking before we started recording and she said shot girl summer and she said it again there. And like, you guys can't see me, but the biggest smile just went across my face because that was the first time I've heard this, and I will be using it for the rest of the summer. And yeah, I mean, it's just such a fun little thing that I haven't heard before, and I love it. And yeah, I'm so excited. And then I guess maybe let's get into kind of like, I think we've already kind of started touching upon it, right? Of the kind of topic for today. So one thing that I really like doing is whenever I have guests on, I don't want to have to use a topic that I might have used in an episode that I do solo. So I want my guests to be able to talk about what they want to. So Ali, I'm actually going to have you introduce it. I'm going to put you on the spot. And if you just want to give us a little bit of an overview of what we're going to talk about, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I really wanted to talk about the importance of knowing that you can set goals and, you know, change paths and do whatever you want at any age, right? Like, I'm 34, I think. I'm 34, going on 35. And I've had so many lives in one life. And a lot of people will like look down on you for that in society. And it's this very like, you know, go to school, go to college. As soon as you leave college, get a job, do this, do that. And it's like, not everybody's happy doing that. Some people are, but like, I just always want to, you know, reinforce the idea that it's okay to start over at any age or to chase a dream at any age because you can make stuff happen.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think you've already kind of hinted at some of the different like lives you've lived within this one. And I think this episode couldn't have come at a more fitting time because I'm currently in a transition of careers. I'm moving companies and I'm also moving industries as well. So I definitely understand that, like kind of the starting over, the starting fresh. And it's really great because I bit my tongue. Okay.
Oh, no. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. And I'm leaving this in because I want everyone to know my pain. and if I start tearing up later, I just want people to know why. but I, like I said, I think it's great that we have two perspectives because we have you who have lived a little bit more life than me. I'm not calling you old, I promise. but then we also have like, I'm like, there's a 10-year difference between us right now. So, you know, we have two. I almost bit my tongue again. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? we kind of have like two different like perspectives of someone who has already seen this happen and someone who may have, and I'm not going to assume, but it sounds like you have faced some type of scrutiny because of it. And I would love to hear about how you overcame that and how you responded and kind of like how that impacts you. But also from another perspective, you have both of us who arguably before 2020, neither of us really had the food platform, really. Like, I think both of us were able to grow during the pandemic, and definitely correct me if I'm wrong, but
no, for sure.
It's just astounding. And a lot of people have asked me, they were like, yeah, would you ever like, you know, leave kind of like the business industry to, you know, pursue something in cooking and, or pursue something in food? And the answer is always whatever pays me the most. I mean, that's pretty much the, you know, I got bills to pay, but at the same time, I still want things that drive me and things that make me happy. So Ali, I want you to kind of kick us off on this discussion and maybe give us a couple examples of maybe a time that you face scrutiny or maybe just like your overall perspective. Cause I mean, I feel like you bring a really interesting viewpoint to this.
Thanks. Yeah, for sure. As far as perspective goes and some of my history. So I knew from the time I was, and I'm not being overdramatic. I can be, but I'm not being here. From the time I was four, the first time I stepped on stage, I knew I wanted to be a musician, right? And it's all I could think about my whole life. I never thought about going to college. I didn't care about school. I got bullied really badly in school. I grew up in Hawaii. I was one of very few white kids. And on top of being like white, I was also like a theater, choir, poetry nerd and very shy and very just like I wasn't shy when I was in like a theater setting, but like socially I was just a disaster. And I'm also like completely unable to tan. Like, again, go look at my Instagram. You can see how pasty I am. But like, so I got, you know, really, really bullied really badly. And I just always knew, like, I want to be a musician. This is what I want to do. So I always focused on that, right? It was never like, oh, I didn't have the social aspect to make school more appealing to me. So I always just thought, well, I'm going to be a musician anyway. It doesn't matter. And then when I was in my teens, I started really getting into cooking. I had kind of always been interested in baking, right? Like, I had an Easy Bake Oven as a kid. Who didn't? And I was always just super into it. I would, some of my best memories when I was a kid involve this cookie party. My mom worked at a pizza restaurant in Hawaii, and every Christmas they'd shut down the restaurant for a whole day, and we'd just make Christmas cookies, you know, with all the employees and their kids. And it was so much fun, and I loved it. So, like, you know, by the time high school finished, I had already been to 4 high schools. I was really sick for like 2 years of my high school career. And then I was just like, well, maybe I'll go to culinary school. So my dad took me to look at a culinary school, and we were leaving the tour, and he just looked at me and he said, if you want to make music, I support that. He's like, I'll support you if you want to go to culinary school too. Like, but don't do this because you think it's what somebody else wants from you. Don't do this to please anybody. If this is what you want to do 100%, then do it. But if you want to make music, I will support that decision 100%. And when you are friends with other people, you know, and you're in bands and you see other people's parents saying, if you don't go to college, we're going to cut you off and disown you. It was a really big thing to have a parent who was like, I want you to do this because I want you to be happy. And so that was sort of the first phase of my life. And that involved lots of like working retail management jobs, you know, working in retail positions, cafe positions, like doing things where, you know, I didn't really care about it. So I could leave at the drop of a hat when I had to go, you know, do something for music. And that was sort of my first iteration. And then I mean, and I'll talk about this as candidly as I can, because if you Google me, it comes up. In my mid to late 20s, I sued a much bigger artist for copyright infringement. And that's usually the first thing that pops up if you like put my name into YouTube, which is embarrassing, but it is what it is. And it destroyed, that lawsuit took over 2 years of my life, and it destroyed my love for music. I had already known that the music industry was such a shady place, and there was already so much like pressure to be like, oh, you have to be successful. And I literally had a potential manager look at me one time and say, okay, well, you're how old? And I think I was like 23 at the time. And he was like, okay, well, you need to lie about your age or just don't discuss it. In any interviews you do, don't discuss your age or lie about how old you are. And I was like, I'm 23. And he's like, nobody needs to know that. You're too old. You're already aging out. And I was like, okay, you're not hired, first of all. And secondly, bye. Like, it made me feel so upset. And so there's this like expectation, right? And it's different for everybody, but there's so much pressure, especially on women, to be successful by a certain age or have so many kids or a husband by a certain age. Otherwise, you're no good to society. What value do you have? And so I really wanted to go against that. I left the music industry because I no longer loved what I was doing, and my music was 100% passion. And when I stopped feeling that like live for it, breathe for it passion, I didn't want it anymore. And I was like, well, what am I going to do now? This is the only thing I've like trained to do my whole life. What do I do? And so it was around that time that I had friends that worked at this fine dining restaurant where I live. It's like the most well-known fine dining restaurant. And the chef there is like, everybody's scared of him. And I think he's okay. And I had a lot of friends that worked there, and their pastry chef was leaving. And they had all tried my desserts, and they were like, we want to put you up for this. Like, you have to meet with chef. And so I met with him like over like a Sunday brunch. My fiance, then boyfriend, was like downstairs. They comped him lunch while I was up in the office having a meeting with the chef. And I was so green. Like, I kind of knew what I was doing, but like, I had never professionally worked in a kitchen before. And he hired me on the spot. And he, you know, he saw the passion there, and he hired me on the spot. And that's when I was like, oh, like, I feel like I used to when I made music, right? So that was cool. But like, anybody who's worked in a restaurant, I'm sure, especially women who have worked in the restaurant industry, know how terrible a kitchen can be. It can be a really terrible place. And I saw myself in this position where I was like, I don't want this environment to ruin my love for baking the way that the environment of music ruined my love for music. And I made the really tough decision to, you know, learn everything I could about being a paralegal, to become a paralegal, to have a full-time steady job with insurance, making really good money. And I was like, okay for a while, but it took me until the pandemic hit. Like, I knew I was miserable, but like when the pandemic hit and I didn't have to go into that place every day anymore. And once I started making content, I was like, you know, I had wanted to make content for so long, but I was really scared to put myself back out there after the music industry. But as soon as I started doing it, I was like, this is right. This feels right. And I just rolled with it. And like, maybe 131,000 followers is like a lot to non-content creators, and to other content creators, you know, it's nothing. There are plenty of people with millions and millions and millions of followers, but it's a lot to me. And, you know, the views that I get, they're a lot to me. And the brands that I get to work with now, you know, moving out of only making TikTok videos of what I want to do, now brands are taking recognition, right? And they're saying, I've seen your work. I've seen you use my product. You know, we love, you know, your style or your aesthetic or your attitude or whatever. You know, do you want to work with us? And that's like, I'm have proven to myself that now, like, oh, this is something I might actually be able to do. And, you know, I wasn't expecting that at this age, but it's super, super cool. And so to me, it just kind of shows, do what you want at any age. Don't be afraid to do it. Like, just don't be afraid, because you, if you have the faith in yourself, you can accomplish it.
I love that. Honestly, it was like attending a little mini TED Talk, and I really appreciate like all the experiences that you shared. And one thing that really resonated me was something you were saying towards the end was 131,000 followers to people outside of content creation may seem like a lot. To people in content creation, it may seem not like a lot, but to you, you're happy. And honestly, like, I feel the exact same way. That's kind of the same approach I take, is like, no matter, even so, I feel like I tell this story like a lot whenever I have guests on, or just like maybe I've told this a couple times, but I remember last May, and it actually just came up on my Snapchat memories like a couple days ago, I took a video of myself. I think I was sending it to my streaks, and I said, I have 600 followers on TikTok. I'm so excited. It is so crazy, because I didn't tell any of my friends really. Like, there was a couple friends on TikTok that I had that I was following that, you know, we would send each other TikToks back and forth. But at that point, I wasn't like super serious about creating content. I wasn't like planning or anything. And I was like, 590 strangers followed me. And I was like, what? I was just like, I was so floored. And, you know, obviously now in modern day, I think I have like 112, 113 now. So it's like one of those things that I'm still as happy as I was with 600 followers as I am with over 100,000. And it's one of those things that if you're not your biggest advocate and your biggest cheerleader, who's going to be? Because there's always going to be someone around who's going to want to tear you down. Like, actually, for the audience, Allie was really great for me in a one. I had this situation that occurred back in January where I posted this video, and it was talking about British sweets or English sweets or however you want to pronounce it. I got shit for no matter how much I pronounced it. And Allie actually was one of the few creators that reached out to me like personally and just said, hey, I definitely understand this. I've been there. And honestly, that was a conversation that really had a good impact on me, because I was like, what the hell do I do? Like, there was people fighting in my comment sections. They were like, oh, it's called candy in the US. It's called sweets. It's called chocolate bars. Like, there was just people like literally like ripping each other apart. And I was just like, I posted on like my friends only. It's like, guys, what do I do? And Allie, you know, sent me a message, and that really helped me, knowing one, that other creators, not that I'm happy that other creators were facing scrutiny from people in the UK. I just don't know. I feel like you said something along the lines of, oh yeah, they're looking for a reason not to like you already because you're American. Yeah. And that honestly made me feel better, because that was my first time really experiencing like having an audience outside of the US. Like, you know, I had the isolated followers who might be from outside of the US, but my audience at that point was predominantly in the US. And now my audience is split between US, UK, and Australia. But it's like one of those things that advice and, you know, that it was really helpful. And it was really just like made me not feel like shit anymore. So Ali, I thank you for that. But I mean, it's like one of those things. I look back on my TikTok career and I remember I bought 10K balloons, like whenever I hit 10K, and I was like, oh my God, this is like the biggest milestone I'll ever hit in my life. This is so insane. Like I'm still equally as excited, like as I go through and whenever I see people interacting with my content, whether it's new or old. So it definitely, like, I would have never thought January last year that I would be having a podcast or having a platform or meeting all the amazing creators that I've met and making these friendships and making these professional relationships. Like, I mean, there's so much that has come out of this past year. And I think it's been overwhelmingly positive, but it just shows me, like, you know, success, it's relative and you never really know what's in the cards until you try it.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad that I could help in some way, that I could be there for you. It's funny because last year I ended up on British TikTok, right? So for anybody who is not familiar with my videos, which I'm assuming most of you won't be, my fiance is British. Like, not just like, oh, he did an ancestry DNA. No, he's from England. He's only been here for, I think, going on 7 years now. And so I started incorporating him into my content and, like, you know, appreciating like his food. I love his snack food so much. Like, they have the best sweets, candy, whatever you want to call it. Okay. Everybody calls it something different. He's not offended by what I call it, right? If I call it candy, he's not in here going, oh, that's not candy. We call those sweets. Like, he doesn't do that to me, right? Some things, like if I say banana, he's like, it's banana. Like, he doesn't like me. Like, he'll make fun of certain words. But yeah, I ended up on British TikTok and then I ended up on the Daily Mail. And then I made the mistake of reading the comments on the Daily Mail and people were so brutally mean. I ended up just laughing at most of it. But the one thing I've learned about TikTok in particular is that people, regardless of where they're from or who you're talking about, they want to find something wrong. There is a whole set of people on TikTok. And this isn't everybody because there's so many wonderful, supportive, amazing people. Most of the people I deal with on TikTok are incredibly kind, supportive, wonderful people. But there is a percentage of people that are on TikTok to make themselves feel better about something they're lacking in their lives. And they need to feel superior over somebody else to feel better about themselves. And that's an insecurity in them, you know, and I'm old enough to recognize that. But there are young kids, teenagers, especially, that are on TikTok that might not have that wisdom in them yet, you know, and it can be really draining some days being a content creator and having somebody come on and just start like berating you over something that is not significant or important. Or, you know, I can get like, I don't know if you saw the whole thing that happened like a month or two ago, but I made those like candied berries, which I had no idea were an Asian like street food thing called tanghulu. No clue. And I was like, oh, you can candy anything the way you candy an apple. I'm going to put these candied berries on a cake. People went nuts. I had one girl threatening me. She was like, I'm going to dox you on Twitter if you don't remove this video and repost it with the correct name. And it was a white girl too. And I was just like, okay. And I had to remove it at about 101,000 views. One of my first videos that like got any views in such a long time. And it's just people on TikTok. There are some people who will just do whatever they can to be negative. And it's so important to remember that it'll get you down and you can let it. I'm not saying don't let it like affect you, but don't let it affect you for too long because you're still awesome. And there are still way more people who care about what you do and love your content and will like passionately support everything you do. So try not to worry about those people that are like, I don't even know what to call them.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, it's so crazy how brutal people on TikTok can be. Like, I was actually, so there's this, I guess it's a trend now, but I'm going camping with a couple friends this weekend, or it's not really camping. It's more like glamping. We're staying in a house, but it's like in the mountains. Regardless, snacks are something that we need. And I went on TikTok because like my one friend was like, oh, we should do those ranch pickles. And it's, have you not seen that?
No.
So it basically, you take a jar of pickles and you take like a powder packet of like ranch seasoning and you put it in the juice and then you let it basically repickle with the ranch flavor for like, you know, at least overnight. Ooh. I will let you know how they are whenever
please
I try
do.
Them. But yeah, I was making those and the user that I first saw them on, her name was Snack Queen, and I actually really like her content. She's like, you know, makes a lot of food content and it's like more so like everyday food, because I feel like there's some creators that, and it's their style, right? There's some creators whose recipes aren't really easily accessible, where, you know, there might be specialized ingredients or something among oh my goodness, I can't speak, along those lines. And then there's like some creators who just really make things that, you know, you can go immediately into your kitchen and it's like pantry staples, yeah, essentially. So she's kind of like one of those pantry staple creators. So it's like, if I'm ever looking for a new recipe that I need to, like, you know, I have dinner to make in an hour, I might go on her account. But that's the thing I love about TikTok, is that everyone's content is so like creative and like unique to them as well.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, in her comment section, I saw a bunch of people saying, oh yeah, this person did it first, this person did it first. And I went to the other person's account, and this person runs an exclusive pickle account. Like, all of their content is pickles. And she wasn't even saying, like, the creator that I was reading the comment section of, she wasn't even saying, oh, I invented this or this is my recipe. She just said, yeah, I'm going to make ranch pickles.
People are so wild about that on TikTok. And, like, I get it. I get crediting other creators where it's due. But, like, you don't see everything that happens on TikTok, right? Neither do I. So, like, I'll make a video and maybe 50,000 other people have already made a similar thing, right? If I don't adapt a recipe to hell and back, then I always credit like the original recipe thing, especially now that we have that whisk option, right? To put the link right on screen, which has been really helpful. And anytime that I'm doing like a blog post or something, I'm doing the same thing. I'm like linking to the original content and then telling you the things that I changed about it. But there are certain things that like I literally will film videos on that I don't even use a recipe for. And somebody could come at me and be like, that chocolate ganache recipe belongs to whoever, when they're not like skilled enough to know that like chocolate ganache is the same ratio. It's the same ratio of chocolate to cream pretty much every time. And you can add whatever you want. And that's why I love making it. But I'm just waiting for the day somebody's like, that's so-and-so's recipe. I get if it's something super specialized that is very – like if I went on and I said – I invented the cronut. People would be like, the fuck? No, you didn't. Like, and they'd be like, Dominique Ansel invented the cronut, which honestly, who knows if somebody did it before him. But like, people are so petty over that on TikTok. And it's like, I sure wish that y'all would be that petty on Instagram, where suddenly after I start seeing success on TikTok, everybody's decided to start using my username on Sugar Pusher on Instagram. There's so many accounts now using my username. And I'm like, I reach out to them and I'm really kind about it. But I'm like, hey, my name's Allie. I own the trademark on the name Sugar Pusher. Like I paid so much money to have my lawyers do this. It took over 2 years to get the trademark approved and finalized and to get my certificate in my hand. And this is my brand. You know, can you please cease and desist with using that? And people either will not respond to me and keep using it. One lady was like, I didn't realize she was in the UK, which like my trademark is not legal over there yet. I haven't finished the process for it being a trademark in that country. But she was so rude. I mean, she was just so rude. And I was not expecting her to be that rude, but she was really rude. And I'm just like, I don't know why people can't just be nice. Like if I went on your stuff and I was like, I get like wanting to, you know, give credit where credit is due. But then y'all also are the same people who are going on Instagram and using somebody's trademark name or some other copyrighted material that they own And where are you saying anything about that? That's I'm willing to bet it's the same people that are on TikTok that are like complaining about this recipe and somebody else's. So nobody can ever use it.
And I think that's like one of the really interesting things about being in the space that we're in, especially is the food space. Everyone's mom has some type of recipe, right? Everyone, it's like you take a basic recipe, like let's say a red sauce recipe. Like I feel like everyone has a hill that they're willing to die on for their own red sauce. And it's like everyone might have like a slight alteration, but it all starts with the same thing. And it's universal. It's like there's, like you said, the chocolate ganache, it's a universal recipe. Like you can't really say, oh yeah, one person made this. Like this is the only person who knows how to make it. It's, and that's the thing about being in the food creative space that also is a bit jarring is like, you know, you don't see every food content creator. There are so many food content creators that come across my For You page who I may not follow immediately. And it's not because I don't like their content. It's just that, you know, maybe my following page is already flooded and I'm trying to see like you, I think, I don't know if we mentioned this off camera or on the audio, but it's like some creators who I follow, like I never see their content. And it's not because they're not posting. It's literally just because I don't see it.
Yep.
So there's certain things that I try to keep like less cluttered. So then I'm able to see those creators.
Yeah.
Like I always see your content, which I'm very thankful for. But also you're very consistent with it. I feel like some people who may like go away and then come back, like when they reemerge, their content just doesn't hit like my For You page or my following page at times. So yeah, I mean, it's so crazy to like, it's just frustrating. And
having to live with the criticism, right? Like I am fine with constructive criticism that is in a kind way. I am not fine with being attacked by a bunch of either, it's always either 12-year-olds or it's grown men. Grown men are so mean to me on TikTok. Like they get so angry. So I've noticed that anytime I post a video where I'm strongly opinionated about something, and it's never anything that matters, okay? Like I'm not saying like anything of importance. It's just like I personally don't like red velvet cake and I think that lava cake is trash. I'm sorry. I just think it is. It's just underbaked cake. And then people want to, like grown men want to scream at you about how, well, if it's done right, it has chocolate ganache in the center. Actually, that's not the way that lava cake was invented. But if you'd like to argue with me, a professional chef, about things I know plenty about when I go to your page and you're not a chef and what do you know, but you want to argue with me. Like I have noticed that so much that like whenever I post a video where I'm just like strongly talking about something, which I guess maybe the humorous side of it just does not catch to a lot of people. And it's just like anybody who knows me knows that it's just like kind of dry and funny. And I'm just like, you know, kind of overdramatic, but like, people get so, they take it so seriously and they get so angry and they get so like grossly mean, and having to deal with that, like it's the one big downside to content creation is just like having to deal with people who have no business typing the things that they type to strangers. And like the really young people, I can understand that they might not understand how their words affect other people, but the grownups, they know better. They know better, and they wouldn't like it if somebody went to their page and said that stuff to them. But that's like, that's got to be hands down the hardest part of content creation for me is just dealing with the like the unnecessary criticism. If somebody is doing something that is hurtful to someone else or to a group of people, if somebody is being like really, truly ignorant, racist, sexist, any of those things, call it out. Call it out and do your best to kindly educate them whenever you can, even if it's so frustrating because people are going to listen to you more when you're like trying to deal with them with kindness. Although some people aren't going to listen at all in that respect, but like deal with it kindly, right? But if it's something as simple as like somebody saying candy instead of sweets, leave it alone. It's not important. Leave it alone. I don't know who needs to hear that, but if you're one of those people, leave it alone.
Right? And I think it's just so funny because like you said, like as a content creator, we have opinions, right? And we'll give our opinions sometimes during our voiceovers or as we're going. And it's not even something we even, like, I don't consciously do it sometimes. Like, I made this chicken stock video and I was like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of celery, so I'm not putting celery in mine. And literally all my comments were about the celery comment. Like, I literally was just saying, yeah, I'm not putting celery in mine because I'm not a big, or I'm not a big fan of celery. And
I'm not
every
either.
Comment was like, right? It's not my, there's so many better vegetables for me. Like, it's just like, it's so crazy that I didn't even remember like talking about celery in my voiceover, like in any type of detail. I think it was maybe like 2 seconds worth of like this 60-second video and entire comment section. Celery, no celery.
Every time.
Where's the celery?
It's like, always the thing that's like so insignificant to you that somebody, TikTok just picks it up and runs with it. And it's like, I'm going to need some of y'all to figure out your priorities in life. Like, just figure out your priorities, because you're not prioritizing the correct way if you're yelling at someone on TikTok about saying something the wrong way. Like, you can be like, hey, like the berry video, for example, you know, there were a few people that commented and said, hey, just so you know, this actually has a name and it's called Tanghulu. And like, it comes from, you know, Asia. And it's like, that's great. That is the way to help people with things. But like, what good? I don't know what anybody believes in. Okay. But if you think that at the end of life, you're going to get to, I don't know, some pearly gates with some mythical creature in the sky, and they're going to go, do you remember that time on TikTok when you told that person that it was supposed to be sweets instead of candy? All right, that's what got you in. That's what got you into these pearly gates. Like, y'all just leave it alone. It's not important. Like, and read the this is my biggest suggestion. Read the comments. And if it's already in the comments 6,000 times, don't type it. Don't type it. But also engagement. So type it if you want to. I'm just going to ignore it.
Exactly. I totally feel that. And it's so funny to just like think back to like certain instances where it's just like, yep, didn't realize that this was going to cause an outrage. But I think on a more positive note, you have, and this is kind of a weird transition, but I've been like thinking about this since we started recording. You have a recipe that you would like to share with us, right?
Yes.
Something that is near and dear to your heart, and it also sounds extremely delicious, and I would like to hear about it.
It'll be printed out, obviously, on your little on the podcast app. I've seen it, and it's so cute. I love the way you do it with the little cocktail and the little recipe. But it's a lemon shortbread with a lemon lavender glaze, and it's so good. And it's like one of the easiest recipes in my arsenal, right? Because it's a 3-ingredient shortbread. Super, super, super easy. You're just going to use some powdered sugar and some butter and some flour, and that's it. And then you zest in lemon. So 4 ingredients. Sorry. You zest in some lemon, and you don't even have to put your dough in the fridge. You can just cut it out, or you can cut it into a log and slice it and bake it right away. And then when you're done, once they're cool, you're just going to glaze them with a really simple glaze. So you can use powdered sugar and milk or non-dairy milk. I like heavy cream, so it's a little bit on the thicker side. And then I used a little bit of lemon extract and then a lavender simple syrup that I made. And if that's too fancy and you don't know how to make lavender simple syrup, or you don't want to, leave it out. Make it anything else you want. That's the beauty of a simple glaze. You can put any flavoring in. You can leave the lemon zest out of the cookies. You can add whatever you want. It's just so easy.
That sounds amazing. And funny enough, like, maybe it was a subconscious thing, but I ordered groceries today and I ordered lemons and I was like, I don't even have a use for these, but now I do.
Now I do.
So that sounds delicious. And is there any kind of like tips or tricks that you would recommend with this recipe, or things for people? It sounds very straightforward, but
so easy.
You know, if there's like some amateur baker out there who this is their first time giving baking a shot and they really just don't want to mess it up, and if they mess it up, they're never going to bake again. Do you have any advice for that person?
Yeah. Preheat your oven. Don't ever put something in your oven cold. I think I take for granted the amount of stuff that's like just in my head, right? That like, I don't think about like a beginner baker needing to know, like, You need to preheat your oven. That's the first most important part. Make sure your oven is fully preheated before you put your cookies in and check them periodically throughout. I never trust a time on a recipe ever, because everybody's ovens are calibrated so differently, right? And if you don't use, I use an oven thermometer to keep an eye on like what my oven is doing, but not everybody does. I'd say make sure your oven's preheated. Other than that, mix your ingredients fully, but don't overmix because you don't want to like ruin the gluten in the flour and have the wrong texture in your cookies. But they're, other than that, they're super, super simple. And like I said, you can leave out the lemon zest. You can add in a little bit, maybe like a half teaspoon of vanilla extract, almond extract, lemon extract, any kind of extract you want to use. And you don't have to glaze them either. That's also another thing, but do wait until the cookies are cool to glaze them. Otherwise, all the glaze is going to run off everywhere. And yeah, I think that's really my only advice. They're super, I picked a really simple recipe that like, not just because it was simple, but because it's like you get such a good return on investment, like for the amount of effort. It takes so little effort to make them, but they're such a nice, like with the lemon zest in them, they're such a nice, summery, like light snack.
I definitely feel that. And this is definitely something I'm going to be trying out because I've been making lemon loaf a lot lately. Yes. So I feel like this is very much up my alley of like the lemon and the glaze and just, yeah, I'm definitely going to be making this. And I hope the rest of you are. As Ali said, the recipe will be in the description of the episode. And I'm super just like excited to, you know, just like give that a try. But just kind of getting back into our conversation of, you know, success, there's no real like measure of it. It's personal. I just wanted to ask, what do you feel like one of your greatest accomplishments are?
Oh, gosh. It kind of changes every week, right? Because I keep thinking, I keep hitting these little milestones. So lately it's been, I've gotten the attention of companies that I have loved for so long. Like I've literally had the owner of one of the companies that I use all the time write me an email and send me a gift card to thank me for like always, you know, tagging her in my content. And like, it's just been so amazing. So for me, just like my biggest accomplishment at this current point in time is starting my TikTok channel and staying like sticking with it, even when it's been really tough. And I've been so like creatively drained some weeks, but just like keeping up with it, even through the highs and lows of, you know, sometimes I get a lot of views, sometimes I don't. That to me is my like biggest accomplishment. And also recently getting so much better at food photography. Where I was this time last year versus where I am this year is such a stark contrast. And it's just, I took, you know, like one online course and then I, you know, started getting different props and backgrounds and lighting and like really learning more. My longtime photographer who's been photographing me since my first band that I was in when I was 19 or 20, he did a whole like FaceTime session with me and like taught me how to set up in my kitchen to get the best photos and really utilize my natural light. And it's just changed everything for me. So I feel really accomplished in like, you know, feeling like, oh, there's no way I can ever take photos like that. And now I'm starting to take photos like that. And then in another year, once I'm working on getting a real camera right now, because I currently only shoot on iPhone. Then in another year from now, I'm hoping it'll be even better. And I'll look back at these photos and be like, amateur.
That is so insane. I'm literally pulling up your Instagram right now because like I've seen your pictures and I'm like, those are so amazing. I wonder what camera she uses. And it's just like crazy to think that this was all on like iPhone. Like,
it's on an iPhone. It's on an iPhone 12 Pro.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at the picture of the, I think you did this. Yeah, it's for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is better than my eyesight. Like, it's like, yeah, I'm supposed to wear glasses. And yeah, I have astigmatism, but this is literally better than my friggin' eyesight. So these are amazing. And
thank you.
As I mentioned before, Ali is at Sugar Pusher on all platforms, right? All platforms?
Yeah. Not on Twitter, but just don't go to my Twitter is more personal. So I'm still verified on Twitter from my music days. And once you're verified on Twitter, you can't change your username. So I've been fighting with Twitter because somebody is squatting on my username, and it's the same lady I've had so many problems with. And I've been like, hey, can you please stop using that? It's trademarked. And I keep reaching out to Twitter and they like won't fix it. So I just go by like my personal name on Twitter, but like I make the decision, right? So like on my TikTok, I have recognized from some of my past content mistakes that anytime I try to talk about something that I'm really passionate about, like politically or like social justice wise, TikTok does not want it. TikTok wants me to do baking and baking only. And Instagram wants me to do baking and baking only. So like I will try to pepper stuff in there like on a cake, but like I keep most of my like I'm very opinionated and I save all my really opinionated stuff for Twitter. So that's my regular name, but everything else is Sugar Pusher.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I mean, these food photography pictures, they are amazing. That's still a skill that I'm trying to learn and trying to hone, because it's like, I feel like you eat with your eyes. And it's one of those things that when I see your content pop up on like, I don't go on Instagram often, but when I do, you're always like one of the first bubbles I see because I watch your story all the time.
Yay.
So anytime I see that, I'm always just like envious of how high quality it is and how amazing it is. And I guess while we're kind of on the topic of food, maybe I'll give you guys a cocktail for the episode, because, you know, that's how we do it. And I'm also the king of weird transitions in conversation, because I don't know, but I feel like you guys have hung out with us for an hour, so you deserve a little drinky poo. And Allie and I talked before the episode about kind of what she was thinking about presenting as a recipe in ways that I could, like, you know, maybe like compliment it. And naturally, as I mentioned, like, I don't know, like 40 minutes ago, there was a recipe that I did that involved kind of lemons, and, you know, it's lemon adjacent. And yeah, I'm going to share it with y'all. So what you're going to do is you're going to grab a shaker tin and you are going to fill it with ice, because that's why we use a shaker tin usually, to chill things and to dilute things. And I'm getting the mixology nerd coming out. So I'm going to push him back in. Stay away for a minute. And then what you're going to do is, this is kind of like a martini. So you have some of the lemon, because there are two different types of martinis, if you didn't know. There's an up martini and another martini that's escaping me right now. An up martini is, if you order your martini, it's going to come with a lemon garnish. And the other martini, I don't think it's up versus dirty, but dirty would be with an olive or sometimes even a pickle garnish, some type of like briny garnish. So this is kind of like a take on an up martini, except we're adding in the lemon as a mixer, and we're going to garnish with the lemon peel. Don't slice your finger open when you're cutting a lemon peel. If you feel like you might, just don't do it. Like, the garnish is not worth your finger or your like nerve endings. But again, we have that shaker tin. We're going to fill it with ice. Then we're going to add in about an ounce of sweet and sour mix. So sweet and sour mix, you can make it homemade. I'm going to the store because I'm a lazy piece of shit, but, you know, to each their own. And then what you're going to do is you're going to need some vodka, ounce and a half of vodka. We like it boozy here. And then you're going to take a half ounce of sweet vermouth. I know most martinis are made with dry vermouth, but honestly, I can't do it. Like, sometimes I'll do it at the bar if I want to look cool, but if I'm drinking in the comfort of my own home and I have control of what goes in my drink, yeah, I'm not using dry vermouth. Like, screw that. And then what you're going to do is you're going to give it a little shake, and then you're going to strain it into a martini glass. It's going to have a kind of weird color because sweet vermouth is like brown. Don't ask me. Like, I can't tell you. It's kind of like a wine adjacent product, but strain it out, add a little lemon peel, make it cute, like this podcast. Oh shit, I didn't even mean to do that, but it happened. And yeah, you know, you just want to enjoy that cold. And again, both recipes, the cocktail and the shortbread, it's a lemon lavender shortbread, yes. Right? The lemon lavender shortbread recipe will also be in the description as per usual. And actually, I'm just going to say this out loud. If y'all aren't reading the descriptions, because I've actually had, this is a really funny story. I had my friend, and I have a feeling he'll listen to this and he'll groan because he told me this. And I said, oh yeah, I'm not going to share this. And now I'm sharing it. He texted me and he was like, Yeah, I didn't realize that your episodes had descriptions. I literally sat with a pen and a notepad waiting for the recipe to come up so then I could write it down. And I was like, nope, every single episode has a description that has the recipes in it. Changed his life. So for anyone else whose life may need changed, there are written recipes for y'all.
Which I love because I don't see that with any other podcasts, which is great. I like that so much. Like, they have descriptions, but when do you ever go to a podcast and there's a recipe in the description? It's the best.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Makes me happy to know that someone appreciates it. Unlike my friend, Trevor.
No, screw you, dude. Look at Trevor as just being really dedicated, right? I mean, he got a pen and a paper and he wrote it. He was like listening intently. Good for you, Trevor, for being that dedicated to wanting the recipe. But next time, look right? at the description.
Exactly. So I hope he listens to this point. I know that we've been talking for a while and we're gonna start wrapping up. But I guess, is there anything that you would have to say to an aspiring content creator? Because I feel like we kind of talked through the good, bad, and the ugly. And to someone who may want to make that change or make that leap, what would you have to say with them? What are some words that you want them to hear?
Do it. Everybody starts somewhere. So like, that's one of my biggest things is everybody has to start somewhere. If you ever see the cakes that I started out making, like, they're very different from the cakes that I make now, you know, and the photos that I first started taking are very different from the photos that I take now. And then the photos that I'll take, you know, a year from now, like, just start. If you want to do it, figure out what you need to do to get started. And, you know, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. And of course, remember that most importantly, that not everybody is going to like everything you do. And that's okay. Like, there's, you know, everybody's got their own thing. If somebody doesn't like what you do, somebody else does. Probably more people like what you do than don't like what you do. So don't feel discouraged by those few naysayers that are going to be rude about it. Just do your thing if you want to do it and make the content you want to make. And, you know, that I feel is, you know, that helps me the most is like sometimes I'll get stuck in like, this is a content I think I should be making. And then I make it and then it doesn't get any views. And then I make the content I want to make and it gets the views because you could see I'm happy doing what I'm doing, you know? So don't be afraid to start.
Yep, I completely agree. There's sometimes where I'm making content, I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like I should be making this. And then I'll make content that makes me happy. And then that's the content that, you know, like you said, it's the one that does well. And people really like the authenticity and like seeing you do well. And more often than not, people will want you to succeed. So, you know, there will be the naysayers. There will be the people who try and tear you down. Trust me, every content creator has experienced it and will experience it if they haven't yet. That's just like I feel like I don't know if I just thought of this myself or if this was advice that was given to me, but every time your video gets a view, right, it's being pushed to a new person. And that person may love it or that person may hate it. But the fact that it's being pushed and that they get to consume it and then make their decision, that's the best part about it, is knowing that, you know, some stranger is going to see your face or maybe not your face, see your hands on the internet, and they get to make that decision. And hopefully, if they don't like it, they don't voice it, because screw you guys if you voice that and tear other creators down. No bueno. So
I just want to know how those people, that's always the thing I keep in mind, right? Which apparently a lot of people don't have this filter on the internet. But for me, when I'm on the internet, I see plenty of things I don't agree with that I don't like. And I'm just like, is this hurting anybody? No. Okay. Then I'm not going to say anything. Like, especially other content creators, like, I'm not going to go on somebody's page and be like, you know what? I think that this recipe sucks and you suck and I don't want to see this on my feed. No, I just keep scrolling. If I don't like it, I just don't watch it. It's really that simple. You don't have to tell everybody every time you don't like something. Like, just keep going and find something you do like and put that energy that you're wasting on being so negative about things you don't like into things that you do like. Go find out what you do like and then focus on that and, like, you know, go boost those content creators up and stop being mean to people, because you wouldn't like it if somebody came to you. I can't imagine what would happen if I went to one of these kids' pages or one of these adults' pages and started just saying awful. I mean, one grown man told me I deserved to be punched in the face for how I made a sandwich. A grown man, like a grown man, not even like probably in his 40s, grown man. And I was just like, You don't even have to eat the sandwich, sir. I don't know why you're so angry, but you just wasted your time and mine with that. So, like, just keep in mind the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Like, just if you wouldn't want that energy on your videos, even if you don't make content, then don't put it on other people's videos. Simple.
I completely agree. I completely agree. And then I guess kind of like my last question to wrap up is there anything that you want the listeners to know? Like, and this is the time to, like, there's no shame in self-promoting. Like, you know, this is the time to, you know, if there's anything that you want them to know about you or about your content, or, and also just remind them of your handles.
Yeah. So my handles are at SugarPusher on TikTok and at SugarPusher on Instagram. I am always welcome to having new followers on both of those. I try to keep up. Like, if you have questions, I'm super open. DM me. I might not always see it right away because my DMs get a little like heavy. But I try, if you have any questions, if you need help, if you have questions about like how to do something on my page, if you go, okay, well, I like this recipe and it looks like I can do it, but I don't know how to do this part. Like, if I've left something out and you're a beginner, just message me. I'm here. I don't bite. I try to be really, you know, available to everybody because I like work from a space of like encouraging others and not judging others. Like, if you don't know how to do something, that's okay. All you have to do is ask and I'll, you know, try my best to explain it to you. I'm always here to help because I love food so much and I want other people to like love food and baking as much as I do. So like, if you know, you need me to help pass that love on to you, I'm here for that. But yeah, you can follow me on TikTok for tutorials and like random unboxings and then some like super random life content. Every now and again, I throw in a vlog. And then I have a blog on my website, which is www.sugarpusher.net. And yeah, there's a blog there and I just post some recipes and I recently did an experiment on the Jacques Torres, the famous Jacques Torres chocolate cookie. I'm not going to call it a chocolate chip cookie because he doesn't use chocolate chips. He used like full chocolate discs, which is expensive, but very tasty. So it's stuff like that. And then some of my sponsored content I also put on my blog because I have companies that ask me to do recipes. And so yeah, that's there. And then you know, photo gallery and a contact form. Again, if you need to contact me, if you don't think I'll get into my DMs, then you can use the contact form on my website. But I'm always here to help.
Amazing. And I'm sure after spending the past hour and some change with us, you all love Allie as much as I do. So I am just so thankful to you, Allie, for being able to come on the show and, you know, really just share your perspective. And it's always nice to have a friend and a colleague who, you know, understands. I feel like this is always when I have a guest on is the time where I can really like kind of air my grievances about TikTok and have a conversation where someone else literally understands, like they may be going through the exact same thing. So
yeah. And to all the other content creators out there, we get you and we got you. And, you know, if we need to start like a group chat, group DM to air our grievances about TikTok, I'm all for it. I love a good social media support group with other creators. So I think it's that's one thing that I have on Instagram with some other creators where it's small businesses, really. And we all like each other's posts and save them and support each other and, you know, send each other all our new posts and stuff so that we can get our engagement rate up. And I'm all about that community over competition vibe. So if we need to have a DM with a bunch of TikTok creators where we talk about why the algorithm is so mean to us, let's do it.
Completely agree. That might be something we set up after the show. And again, Allie, thank you. I'm so happy that you're able to come on. And again, Allie's handles are at SugarPusher on Instagram and TikTok. And then her website is www.sugarpusher.net. Give her a follow. And to those of you who have been here for the past couple of weeks, past couple of months, whatever, thank you for always continuing to listen and to support. And we'll see you next week, you know? And Allie, would you like to say farewell to the audience?
Yes, Miles, thank you so much for having me. And audience, thank you for listening to me.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. And I'll see you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
had a good time? If so, then please subscribe and leave a review. Cause this podcast is new. We drink, we eat, we laugh out loud. My name is Miles. That's all for now.